Okay, so hi, I'm Maya, and I'll talk to you about various programming languages and how programming in general was a terrible idea. Computers should not be told how to think, and computers were a mistake. But everyone knows that, so I'm just gonna like hyper focus on a bunch of programming languages I have used already. Programming was a mistake. First of all, the little introductory "Who am I?" slide. I am an average shark enjoyer. I used to, up until a few weeks ago-ish, be a software and application security engineer for a thing I'll get to later. I do InfoSec as a not-so-ish basis anymore, as in I have a job in that now. So I kind of have to. On the side, I've finally gotten rid of studies. Yay! Last Wednesday, help run manage a community, various CTF events, a conference, which for Spoon's reasons we have not undertaken this year. And I do many stupid and fun things, most of which I don't share about because they're very stupid. Not criminal, and I am not that, Swiss Maya. No fly lists were not my idea. So. Right, and if you need to reach me, I have a Mastodon, which is very nice. So you might ask, surely it's not all borked. It is all borked, and don't call me Shirley. So the thing is, for studies, but I had to read the structured programming book, a book from 1972. I kind of hyper-focused on it. I wasn't supposed to read it entirely, but yeah. So by this these few people, Dahl, Dijkstra, and Hoare. Yes, it is that Dijkstra from the Dijkstra's algorithm. Yes, it is a book from 1972. Yeah, a lot of the design patterns and paradigms in programming languages from today are in that book. So we've been fucking it up for the last 50 years, which is very nice. What's with the title? Well, I've been programming for about 9-ish years, at least in a capacity where I write things that actually work. Python, C, JavaScript, TypeScript, Scala, Java, Swift, Golang, Dart, PHP. I was tempted to put various Pokemon names in there, but wouldn't have passed the sniff test. So there you go. Hello. So my nails have like a cab on them, but whatever. Oops. I've done a bunch of things in those languages with a bunch of frameworks, libraries, database management systems, and other things that would make you want to die. And gonna avoid that sentence. And yet, I am woefully underqualified to talk about anything because it would take. Well, I do not have experience in COBOL, for example. So I do imagine I'd have a pretty good paycheck for it, though. But I can rant. And this is a privilege I do enjoy taking on numerous occasions, and I will do this for this conference. So to kick this off, I'm going to start with my kind of like my starting language, everyone's favorite language, the simplest language to learn in the world, and it was the one that makes the most semantic sense ever, Python. Some of these statements is a bit of a two truths and a lie kind of situation. I'm not going to tell you which is which either, but all right. So it is a fun interpretive language, very unquirky. You have basic for loops, no semicolons, no jazz, simple semantics. You have some object-oriented programming, all of the bells, bangs, and whistles you would expect from a kind of modern-ish programming language. Except up until like 3.9, you didn't have type hints, so it was a perfectly untyped language. Which was running in a bunch of production systems, which was running APIs that were pulling data from the web, which I ideally would also have numbers. This also fucked up a bunch of things, such as converting numbers represented as strings to numbers represented as ints, who sometimes, when you were doing some magical fucky wucky with the numbers, would give you a float approximation. So, who has not seen the 3.0001? That's fun to store in a database. It's extremely slow compared to other languages, Sure, I'll print your hello world in about 0.5 microseconds. But if you need to run an API that's supposed to do a few backend calls, interpret some results, some stuff, etc., or let's say run a cryptography algorithm, then you start to notice it has a few limits. Pip is basically your main issue of problems for anything that isn't related to core language itself. Mainly because you have a bunch of versions of different things, and you don't manage your dependencies, at least not natively, on a project level. So the most common issue is the package that actually relates to making re internet requests, where any library is going to use that library, but is going to use a woefully different version of it, and this is going to break ecosystems. I know. And yeah, now multi-threading works, but also the default implementation is broken. As in, one of the things doesn't do the thing correctly. And so someone made a package which has almost the same name. Guess who confuses them both all the time? And that fixes that one issue, but the both packages are used in production everywhere. And there's a new one in 3.10 that actually does the job, and 3.10 is also faster. So, yay. Future-proofing things, or past-proofing things. It is also, I mentioned dealing with packages. Well, you have this thing called vEnv, which is fantastic for managing your packages at your repository level. I'm also cheating on vEnv with poetry because it is much nicer in order to deal with actual requirements, and you just have a 2ML file that you can just port between projects, and it's nice. List comprehensions are really fun in Python. It is one of the best features of the language because it makes your language completely unreadable. So yeah, this is within some code that does like a yes encryption for some reason. But yes, this is a zipping of two arrays that's working on the output of two different functions. That is working on a loop that is taking a thing and is performing a final reduction of that within two arrays. It is painful. It is also hilarious to talk about. So, testing is a thing in Python. I've been told. It is not something they usually tell you about, at least when they teach you Python. And the way it exists is kind of antiquated. It exists. And it is, yeah, maybe not the best language to build an API with, considering, packages, the need to actually respond to things. So if you have five users, this is fine. Production, less fine. But hey, now we have Docker and Kubernetes. So if we have too high of a user count, we just spawn a new one. This is fine. This is how we do modern infrastructure. So yeah. Moving on to everyone else's favorite language, PHP.
Ooh.
The fact that one person said woo in this room is already worrying me enough.
I refuse to elaborate if it was
Right. So it is a language that is untyped by default. Every single tutorial, well, most of them at least, that was produced in the last 20 years about PHP shows you untyped PHP. The thing is, it can be typed. You can perfectly type PHP. It exists. It is a native thing. Well, from one of the versions on at least. So yeah. It's effectively three semantics in a trench coat. You have things that are written like this. You have things that are written like this. You have things that are written like this. Also, apparently, function names are case insensitive. They didn't tell you that at any point. But it is. And so I read this on a Reddit forum. So the reason for this is because PHP is a bit of a mongrel of multiple languages, because its influence on one side from the C, etc. side, and the object-oriented side of Java, which is why there's two semantics, because this is how you build a language. You take one language, take another language, and you make them kiss, and something objectively horrible comes out of it. It has the dubious honor of having been trashed by its creator multiple times. So the creator, of whom I have forgotten the name, has magically said that PHP 8 is significantly better because it contains less of the original creator's code. Which, I mean, sure. And yeah, some person called Evie on the internet, very well known, has an entire blog post on why PHP is trash. You can dedicate a good 30 to 40 minutes to reading it. It is a very good blog post. So yeah. Java, yet another one of the world's most fantastic languages. It is very clear. The function names are short. Yeah, I'm going to stop right now. It runs on 3 billion devices, allegedly. Also, at least one or something billion of those are Java cards. Does anyone here know what a Java card is? Two people? Three? Okay. Java card are basically smart cards on which you can run Java applications. Who thinks this is a good idea? No hands were raised. You are entirely correct. The rest is probably people playing Minecraft because, hey, you know, Minecraft is a good game. They have bees and frogs. It is a fully cross OS environment. Yay! Unless you have the very specific use cases where you need to deal with specific OSs in a very specific way that hasn't been conceived by the developers. And also you need to ship a VM with it. Yeah, or to have a runtime environment, both of which are a pain to deal with. Garbage collection can be a bit finicky, as in sometimes it magically doesn't work. It's gotten better with the whole Adoptium JDK, ever since Oracle has gotten their grubby bits off of it. And you've had two parallel releases with Adoptium and Eclipse and then Adoptium on one side and then Oracle on the other. Things have been getting better on the term of garbage collection. Static, not the thing on the radio, but the keyword, is the most fantastic thing in a language because it'll break through every single fucking context you have, as in like semantic context. The one exception is the public static main, which is already enough of a pain to deal with. But yes, static is, it's a very good idea on paper. When people were implementing it on not paper, they should have asked themselves more questions. So yeah. Whew. I have a parenthesis. Wait, what is this? Oh no, my animations are a bit, oh no, I'm going the wrong way. Okay. There's two buttons on this. So I have a parenthesis on Java. Because as it turns out, my previous job, which didn't make me sign an NDA, yay, was for the EU Commission. So it was an ISA, so yeah, something about infrastructure. And like ecology, I don't know. They didn't really give me a business card, it was through my university. And yeah. And so basically the whole project was to make autonomous public transportation. So imagine Tesla, but on a bus made by a bunch of underpaid PhD students and their professors in academic contexts. And me, because I was not a PhD student, I was a master's student that they somehow rolled into whatever and paid less. So that was a bit of context. And someone at some place in that org chart who had probably a marketing degree went like, it has to be quick. Let's dockerize 15 different Java components that are doing various things, taking things from various endpoints and building an entire Docker network of things and hope for sub 1 millisecond response times. And I was working on something called the risk assessment engine for these public transport vehicles, which was taking alerts from various sensors of live vehicles driving on cars, not on rails, and performing risk reports. So basically, if you see the Inisa logo on the back of one of those vehicles, don't go into them, is my personal, actually, the project is non-monetizable, so capitalism actually saves us this time. Yay, capitalism? No, wrong take. the main issues that I have with this, and I'm talking about it, why wouldn't I? Is that, you know, you're getting alerts from a bunch of different sensors. You need to queue them somehow because you're getting spammed with alerts from things that are too hypersensitive. Like, oh, there's a rock that is this big in front of a sensor. Damn, we might have to trigger an alert about that. We need to batch process these to produce an actual report, because if you produce a report for each alert, well, you're basically DOSing yourself, yay. And it needs to be fully asynchronous, because you need to be able to process the alerts coming in and produce reports going out at the same time, which Java is maybe not the best idea at, because you can do threads and all that stuff, but getting threads to communicate information in a way that's easy is where the things go bad. So this is how we ended up fixing that. And the fact that you see three times the word singleton in there is pretty much the worst idea you could have. Well, it tells you why it's the worst idea, and honestly, it's the best solution. So you basically have a singleton that takes the and ingests the alerts, puts them in a queue, or stack, more accurately. If there's a really urgent alert, as in one that isn't like batch process, but one that should trigger an actual event, it tells like the driver singleton, the thing that's doing the orchestration, right? Hey, this is kind of important. The driver singleton goes like, sure. Grabs all the things, gives it to the other singleton. This produces a report, which it then stacks into a report, because you need, of course, you need to build a report based on previous data, because of course. And then it needs to pipe it out to three different things. A Mongo instance, which every experiment thing was going to. Another of the databases in the entire project, which was a PostgreSQL database, which had its own ingester, so we just lobbed a message at it in the correct format. Yeah. And then it was another thing that was ingesting, but the raw data of the risk report. I did about 7 months at that job. I was brought in to rescue because two of the people had gone away on, like, one of them had a breakdown and one of them got pregnant. So the first I understand, the second one, biology, what can you do? Well, you can do many things, but in this case, what can you do? So I was kind of saddled with that, and I had like one other person to work with, and we fixed it, and it passed all the compliance tests, which is a fucking wonder. It's like, I hear it passed the compliance test, and I'm like, sure it did. Who wrote the metrics? We did. Well, no, the people that had the test data wrote the metrics. This is how the EU works for projects, by the way, the big ones. Usually it works very nicely, but yeah, this is a bit weird. And then everyone, my favorite language to fuck around with, JavaScript. Not favorite in the sense that it is a good language, but that I can commit war crimes with them. So it is an untyped language, as with most of the, well, except Java. It's used everywhere a browser is, unless you tell it not to, which honestly, you're better off, except nothing works anymore. But we have a magical thing called Node. And Node means you can run JavaScript on servers without the need for a browser. And this has led to many terrible things, because you now can build APIs in JavaScript. Remember that thing that's untyped. You can build just aggregators and gestures, all that kind of stuff. You can, what was it? ArangoDB is built partly in C, partly in JavaScript. This is it's fast, but it's fucky, is kind of the way to go about it. It's super versatile because, like Python, it has a package manager, yay NPM. As you may have noticed also, NPM has been getting hit a few times these last few times with maintainers being, the addresses for the maintainers being overtaken, and, well, the package is being overwritten, and since these packages are in a bunch of different projects, well, that means that you suddenly have web servers that have an auto-update loop running ransomware. They're through dependency management issues. Yay. and yeah, so the last thing is no one should have to deal with my JavaScript, and this is kind of where, if you want to commit crimes onto your mind, soul, and body, sure, send me a DM. I'll happily send you a Docker container or a GitHub repository or whatever. Like, the GitHub repository is safe to give you because the answer is not in it. That's how bad it is. I have great user reviews for my JavaScript. This one is, I thought I was close after going through the first three levels of obfuscation. Yeah. The second one is, this is one of my mildest ones. People just wanted to murder me for that. It's mild. And most recently, so yesterday I asked a friend of mine, what's one of my friend's opinion of JavaScript, and it's literally spooky, fucky, wacky nonsense as the visual equivalent of the output of a typewriter being kicked down the stairs, but it works. And this is where the part goes from, why is my JavaScript so magically different? something magically called JSFuck, which is technically JavaScript, but it is its own esoteric language. So you've heard of BrainFuck, you've heard of Whitespace, you've probably also heard of JSFuck. JSFuck, for a normal application, depending on how many layers of obfuscation you add, you get a thing that's about 15 megabytes of source code. Which can be a bit of an issue. So also I mentioned war crimes. The Geneva suggestion should probably give you a bit of a clue. So this is obfuscated code, JSFuck. So it's the end of it. So you just have, you know, your usual numbers. So this is JSFuck extended because the asterisk doesn't exist in normal JSFuck. But this is because the code was getting too big in normal JSFuck. And I had to do basically binary exponentiation representation of numbers instead of just 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. Dude, this is how bad it got. And the obfuscator looks like this. yeah. So this is, has anyone had to deal with AES encryption? Yes, as in written their own implementation? No? Okay. This is a Rheindel S-box. You may recognize them from if you had to implement them yourself. They're very typical. And someone did and was like, I tried to then pipe the output into a thing, except one of these is wrong. Because that would be too easy. right. So I could also talk about Golang, but I actually won't. I like Golang. It's really cool. It's a modern language. It works. Garbage collection can be a bit wonky, but it works. Dealing with panic is cool. It's a new way to deal with exceptions. It's not a way you're really accustomed to. But yeah, I could also talk about Rust. I also don't want to get stabbed by most of the people in this room. My only issue is how it handles JSON, but it wasn't also like really designed for handling JSON. Yeah. and crabs are cool. And this concludes my slideshow. Thank you. And I think we're on time for questions. Yes.
When are you going to rewrite the presentation in Rust?
No. Any other questions? Sensible ones?